I want to read today, and then sometime either the middle or the end, then we'll do our declaration. Is that okay? I want to let it sink in first, and then confirm that we've heard it, and we've received it, and we'll apply it, okay? We're going to do it that way. Now, I will do something different this morning that we normally don't do, and there's no reason, there's no right or wrong, I don't think, but can we stand as we read the first few scriptures of the word today, just in honor of Jesus? Okay. I'm going to be in Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, just five scriptures. Guys, if you have that, you should have it on the screen. Acts 1, 1 through 5. All right, I'm going to read the word now. It says, in my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach, until the day that he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles that he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them, and he gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. And on one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave this command: do not leave Jerusalem. But what? Wait. Everybody say that with me. Wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. Jesus didn't make any secrets about what was going on. Verse 5. For John baptized with water, but in a few days, someone say a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, I thank you for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I thank you for the way that it's absolutely transformed my life. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're continuing to transform my life. And I pray everyone under the sound of my voice continues to receive all that you have, that we allow you to reach the deepest parts of our soul and heal and resurrect that which we let die through sin. But you're raising it to life again, just as you rose from the dead, just as you are alive, Lord God. You will raise those things. You will speak life into them, Lord God. And I declare right now, my life, I pray that those here under the sound of my voice say the same thing, but I give it to you for your purpose, for your glory, for your kingdom to come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You may be seated this morning. I am so excited about this message today. I'm even more excited that I think Glenn preached most of it, so I'm going to jump around a little bit. And then someone else said something that I felt like was a bit of it. So guys, thank you so much for playing behind me here, just kind of keeping some things moving here. I'm going to adjust a little bit of volume because I feel like I'm blasting everybody. Hopefully that sounds okay. So we're going to be in Acts chapter 1 and 2 for most of the morning, just so you know. And I want to do something special in a little bit that the Lord led me to do. And so we'll get there and I'll set it up. But as I was raised in a Baptist church, and I love my friends. They're all still my friends. A lot of this was brand new to me, and so I tried to think of questions that I asked, that I thought about, that I'm still sometimes chewing on as a way to explain kind of what happened to me and then what happens to people when we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, when we become partners with Jesus in the Holy Spirit. And so I tried to ask questions like that. And so this is a Pentecost message. Today is the day that we celebrate Pentecost. And so I wanted to kind of come at it from that approach, if that's okay. And so I wanted to talk about the where first. And that's going to be found in Acts chapter 1, starting in verse 13. You guys should have these all on the screen if you don't have your Bible with me. And most of these are in the New International NIV version. So it says in verse 13, when they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Now, this is a little bit ahead of the moment where they're baptized, but I wanted to kind of set the stage. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. And so this was a place that they met commonly in. We're going to talk about that in a second. So they went upstairs to that room, and those present were Peter, John, James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. They all joined what? Together. Here's another word, constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. So here's what I can see, this room, this place that it says in this scripture, that where they commonly were staying, where they commonly met. Here's some things that tend to happen, and a lot of people believe it was this same place. So you had the preparation for the celebration of Jesus' final Passover meal. You had the washing of his disciples' feet. You had resurrection appearances of Jesus here. You had the gathering of the disciples, as we see here in a couple other places, after the ascension of Jesus. Shortly after this verse, you have the election of Matthias as the apostle to replace Judas. And then you have what we're about to read in Acts 2 again, the descent of the Holy Spirit upon the disciples on the day of Pentecost. Now, Tina was online as we were kind of chatting through some of our camera woes, technical woes, and she's like, I've been there, walked through it. It's an awesome place, powerful place. If you ever get a chance to visit the Holy Land and visit some of these places, I think that is super, super awesome. It lets you get a feel for what the believers were experiencing. But I was talking with Christy last night. It's like, you know, if I wanted instruction from the Lord and if I was told to wait, where would I go? I'd go to the place where we went, right? I'd go to the place where we gathered. So it makes sense that the place they went to was the place that a lot of these things happened. It was home base. Do you have a home base? Do you have a place where it's like, hey, this is my family, this is my crew, this is my tribe, this is where I'm safe, this is where I'm filled, this is where I partner with others. Do you have a home base? I hope that you do. So then we get to the point in Acts chapter 2, verse 1. It says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. And as I said a minute ago, it's unity, it's togetherness, it's like-mindedness. Like, you don't have to agree on everything, but in this regard, Jesus said, wait, I want more of Jesus. I want all that he's got for me. You want all that he's got for you. Hey, we're unified in that. We're going to gather here and we're going to wait just as he said to wait. And what did Jesus often do? Well, if any of the disciples had eyeballs, which the scriptures tell us that they most likely did, and so no one was missing eyes. And so if they looked around at Jesus, what was Jesus often doing? Starts with a P. Praying. Okay, and so if I see Jesus praying often and Jesus tells me to wait, logically it makes sense to do what Jesus did, right? I like it because when Jesus prayed, stuff happened. So I want to pray, and I want my life to reflect Jesus' life, which I imagine these guys did. And so I'm going to pray because stuff's going to happen. Are you with me? So if the enemy has convinced you today that you don't hear God, God don't hear you, flush all those lies down the toilet, get back on your face, tell the Lord, I see you, I hear you, I know you see me, I know you hear me, and we're going to talk all the time. Amen? His is a phone bill you don't have to worry about. Talk as much as you need to. Unlimited talk and text. Are you with me? Some of y'all don't know those days. Those are some rough days. When you were on the phone with your sweetheart and you got the $500 phone bill and you were like, how am I going to take care of this? Multiple times, it's like, well, got it month after month, so they're on to me, you know. You don't have to worry about that with Jesus. He's ready for that unlimited talk time. And just as others were saying this morning, I thought my kids would think I'm crazy, but I'll just be talking, and you know, they're wondering if I'm talking to them, so you know, they're kind of perked up and just waiting for instructions, you know. That's Dad. I was like, he's gonna tell us what to do in a minute, and I'm just going about my day, and then the language shifts, and it's like, you know, da-da-da-da-da, and it's like, what is going on right now, you know? And Isaiah, the youngest at the time, was like, what are you doing? I'm praying in tongues. What's that? Well, it's Daddy's Holy Spirit inside of him, and he's talking to the Father for me. He's like, oh, that's cool. What was cooler, and this is just, once again, my upbringing and all that, I'm learning with many of you, is as much as I talk in tongues all the time, wherever I'm going, and I sometimes think my kids or others probably think I'm crazy. You know, it's kind of like the person that talks to yourself, but you really don't know what they're saying, so you're like, whoa, you know. And as my kids went up to the altars at this revival that we were at, gosh, when was it? Was it January, end of January, February? Christy's better with times and dates and all that stuff. I think it was January, February. Anyways, we were all there, and they all, like, at different points in time during the service, were like, I want to go get baptized in the Holy Spirit. I want to receive the gift of tongues, because they had offered to pray. And so I thought, first off, that was cool. It was a proud dad moment. I'm ready. I'm like, yes, you know, this is awesome. And I half expected that, logically, if you hear someone praying in tongues all the time, you know, we had kind of made jokes, you know, not knowing. So in my ignorance, I've repented since. But it's like, oh, they're all just repeating each other. They're all just copying each other. They all sound the same, right? And so logically, I'm like, okay, my kids, when they start praying in tongues, are going to, you know, sound like dad. Well, Kaya, I think, was the first one that went down. And I don't think he knew that I was snooping and, you know, just trying to figure out, you know, what's going on. What's he sound like? Is he doing it? You know, come on, Lord, let's go. And so he starts speaking in tongues and praying in tongues as they're laying hands on him. And I'm like, I hadn't heard that before. And then I think Isaiah was next. And Isaiah goes down. And you know, once again, I'm just like, okay, he's going to copy dad. It's fine. You know, we'll work through it. You know, just praying. And I just love his heart kind of thing. And I hope this is okay. Can I be honest in this house today? And so I'm just thinking, like, I would just rather him want what God wants for him, whatever it sounds like is really the heart that I'm coming at. And so I'm really, really expecting Isaiah to sound just like dad. And then he starts, and it's completely different than me, completely different than Christy, completely different than Kaya. And I'm like, I am sold. I am absolutely sold. Like, Holy Spirit, like, you got me. Like, I didn't know. I was a doubter, a scoffer, whatever you want to call it. For so many years of my life, I'm like, they're all copying each other, which, y'all, listen, maybe it happened. It totally could have, so I might not have been completely wrong. But the point was, is what God showed me in that was not only their desire, I want what you have for me. I want what you got. And whatever that looks like or sounds like, I'm going to do it. And if I sound like a bumbling idiot, yes, sir, I'm going to do it, right? Because I was talking to one of them. I don't remember which one I was talking to, but I was like, even if we sounded like idiots, what we're doing it for and why we're doing it, who cares? I'd rather be that kind of idiot than anything else that's going on in the world, right? And then so Eli, you know, he goes, and Eli is a little bit different. And so, you know, not only was his also different, and it blew my mind, but Eli has the best word I can think of. Eli has gotten spunky since he's been filled with the Holy Spirit. And so you need to hear this from your pastor, because I think this is the heart and mind of Jesus. There's been times that I've been, for any lack of other better word, probably mully grubbing. You know, you kind of get like down and out, and like you're beating yourself up and you're having a pity party, and just blah, and your bottom lip is hanging so low that you're scooping up gravel. Are you with me? And when Eli sees me like that, sometimes the Spirit of God gets on him and he kind of gets on to me. And some of you are like, well, that's not right. He's your son. Well, he's also a brother in Christ. And if he hears from the Spirit of God and was like, hey, that ain't right. Let's do this. And he gives me a little mini sermon. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. You know, when you get those sermons that you didn't really want, you didn't ask for, but you get it anyway. And then you're like, oh, I needed that spiritual butt whooping. It was one of those. And then I was thanking him and thanking the Lord afterwards. And I was like, now listen, you know, I honor the Lord, you honor the Lord. We're clear that I'm the dad, right? And he's like, yeah, yeah, absolutely, totally. You know, like, we just wanted to make sure, you know. But I received that spiritual butt whooping in the name of Jesus. And so that's Eli. And then I think we've talked about it a little bit. At least I know Tina will amen and hoop and holler on this one because she knows. But Isaiah became like just this evangelist. And so just about everywhere we go, without fail, all the kids will snitch on him if he tries to deny it. But he'll meet somebody and he'll say, where do you go to church? Do you know who Jesus is? Do you want to go to my church? My dad's the pastor. And I'm like,
You know, like, we're over here off of 30th. I mean, he's telling them our entire life story. We'll take you. We'll come pick you up, you know. Like, he's just evangelistic and just going wild on it. And then Kaya has shifted into the best way I can say it is just really prophetic mode. Kaya senses and feels. He knows when things aren't good. He knows when things are awesome. He knows when to press in. He knows when to slow down. Kaya is just hearing the Lord and just feeling what the Lord is doing. And so what I'm trying to tell you today, and none of this was prepared, by the way. None of this is my notes. Christy's my witness. But it's just one of those, like, we keep saying how much you need the Holy Spirit, but sometimes you just need to see it. You need to feel it. You need to know it. And when you look at someone's life that's been transformed by Holy Spirit, you start looking at them and they don't look the same anymore. They don't sound the same. They don't act the same. We were talking to Pastor Walder. I don't know if any of you know Pastor Walder. Yeah. And so he was going to the store, or no, going to get food one day, Chick-fil-A. And I'd never seen him dressed this way, but he was obviously dressed down. They always dress up. Dressed down, and he had this hat, but he had it pulled down real low where you just barely see his eyes. And the girls were tattling on their dad, so apparently it's a thing. But they were like, you know, dad always goes in when he goes to places, and he wears his hat real low because all the people that he sees and meets that, you know, have come over and migrated and all that, they know who he was. They don't know who he is. And so he doesn't want them to recognize who he was because they don't know who he is now. And so, you know, that touched my heart because it's like, man, you know, do we often think about that? The circles and the streams and the people that we used to hang around with and do some dumb stuff with, it's like, oh, I don't want them to know who I was. I want them to know who I is, right? Is that some okay grammar this morning? I want them to see who Jesus is. I want them to see Jesus in me. I want them to see that life transformed. And so that touched my heart because it's like, wow, you know, gosh, I wonder what people think. Well, if God can do that in them, surely he can do it in me. I know who he was, right? It reminded me of a joke. I was sent this by a friend. He might even be watching, so thanks, Jeff. But he sent me this joke from a Christian comedian, and he was talking about Bible names and how, you know, they just ought to match the character of the person. So he's running down the list of the traditional, you know, the Johns, and he's like, John baptized people. He's like, I just used a Wendy's coupon. I don't feel like I'm living up to the name, you know what I'm saying? So kind of some funny stuff there. And then he's talking about Malachi and how he's like this warrior prophet, and his nephew, who this named Malachi, has a peanut allergy. And he's like, it doesn't really, you know, line up, right? You know? And then he gets to another family member, and he says, oh, here's Paul. He's like, I know that kid. He's not Paul, he's Saul, you know, right? You know, the name needs to line up, you know? And so my thoughts, my hope, my prayer is that when people see us, you know, do our characters, do our lives line up with the name of Jesus? If I wear this big old fat badge, spiritually or physically, that says Christ follower, I got the sticker on the car, you know, am I cutting people off and driving like a madman? Am I, you know, cussing at them? Am I giving them the Hawaiian good luck sign? I don't know if y'all know what that is. And maybe before some people's time, you know. But whatever, you're flashing gang signs. But, you know, does our life look like Jesus's? Does our life look like his? And so it makes me think of this next scripture, guys, Ezekiel 11. He's talking to the people of God about their sin, about the way that they are, and then he gives them a promise. Like, it's so like God's overwhelming, matchless grace that he says in Ezekiel 11:19, he says, then I will give them one heart. And I like this version because there's a few different points that he says in Ezekiel. I think the other one is in Ezekiel 29, but in Ezekiel 11, he says, I will give them one heart. In another place, it says, I will give them a new heart. God made this one stick out to me because that one heart, that one mind, that lockstep, that union that we've been talking about all morning long was what I feel like he wanted to highlight. Do we, as the people of God, united by Holy Spirit, have one heart? Do we have his heart?
And then did you know, just like with anything else that belongs to Holy Spirit, you can say, Holy Spirit, as you fill me, can I have your heart for this person? Can I have your heart for this cause, this thing? And then he says, I will put a new spirit within them. And I will take the stony heart out of their flesh and give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep my judgments and do them. Been talking about that. There you go. And then they shall be my people and I will be their God. Frankly, there's two buckets. You're either his people or you're Satan's people. Most people don't think about that. Well, the kind of people that I want to be and the kind of God that I want to have is Jesus and Jesus alone. Are you with me today? And so my money, my resources, my family, all that I have, which was given to me by God, I want to return to him. I choose not to supply the kingdom of darkness with anything of mine. And that's an active process. So I need the new heart. I need the new spirit. Why? So that I may walk in his statutes and keep his commands and judgments and do them. Someone said, do you need the Holy Spirit? Yes, we need the Holy Spirit every day. And then they kind of made it funny, but also serious. It's like, you need the Holy Spirit to walk into Walmart. Well, if you've been following anything with Target, you definitely need the Holy Spirit to walk into a Target. Are you with me? It's a mess. But here's why you need the Holy Spirit. Because rather than staying out of those places and snubbing your nose up, you need to be going into those places and witnessing. There's a lot of people there that need to know Jesus. And so rather than being scared and acting like the enemy has more power than you, I didn't say go in and buy anything. I said go in and witness. There's a mission ground. Well, Lord, what do you want me to do? Well, in the Bible, multiple times he says, go and tell all people the good news of Jesus Christ. Make disciples, right? I don't know where to go. There you go. You need groceries, right? You need things, right? Well, so do they. So there you go. You guys can go and meet some people who need Jesus. Amen? I want to set a little bit more of the stage because we've been hitting the highlights. We know that he gave them Holy Spirit, but I also wanted to show you in Matthew chapter 3 where all this kind of started. So in Matthew chapter 3 verse 11, John the Baptist tells the people, I baptize you with water for repentance. But after me comes one, and I highlighted or bolded one so you can highlight your Bible, color that thing up. But after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not even worthy to carry, and he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And so we then get to Acts chapter 2, 2 through 11. I'm not going to read all of it, but it said suddenly. Someone say suddenly. When you're doing what God wants you to do, there's going to be a lot of suddenlies that happen in your life. I'm just telling you. And it says, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. And they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them, some of them, a few of them, a couple of them, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to do what? Speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, I want to color this a little bit. What we see in Scripture here specifically, I believe, you know, you have to read this in context. And so the tongues that they spoke happen to be languages because we start to see a list of a bunch of Ians. You got some Parthians, you got some Medes, you got some Elamites, you got some Mesopotamians, you got some Judeans, you got some Cappadocians, you got some folks from Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, and we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. So that always threw me off. I didn't know there was multiple types of tongues. Well, I just gave you a story of how at least the types of tongues that I've heard in three of my children didn't match mine, or Christie's for the matter, or most of the ones that I had heard. And so, you know, you have the tongues that Paul teaches us is the Holy Spirit making groanings for you and praying on your behalf. But you also have the tongues like this, where it's in another language. Often, tongues like this, they say not only these guys are going to understand it, but when an unbeliever is in our midst and we hear tongues and then the tongues are interpreted, well, it's for that unbeliever's benefit. Now they just heard something happen that they ain't never seen before. And so you start to see, as John and others have said already this morning, the importance of doing exactly what Jesus said to do in Scripture. But we've run away from it. Well, that's too scary. It makes people feel weird. It makes people run away. Well, it wouldn't if we explained it. It wouldn't if we were honest and allowed questions and allowed people to have a little bit of the doubts and confusion like I had. And instead of allowing them to operate in confusion, which doesn't come from God, we'd say, hey, let's clear this up. The Word of God tells us what this is. Let's ensure that you're not confused. Ask your questions. There's no question that's a wrong question. I would rather you ask and be honest and let us grow together than let you continue to operate that way and spread more confusion. But no one wanted to take that up. No one wanted that task. No one felt qualified. Do you often feel qualified to do what you're doing each and every day? Because I sure don't. I'm standing up here and I'm telling you, 90% of the time, John, am I wrong? I don't feel qualified. My God, surely you've got someone else, anyone else. Nope, it's you. Okay. All right, here we go. Sorry, guys. You know. But he says, I didn't ask you because you already knew everything. I asked you because you're willing to ask the questions, and then I know for a fact that you'll teach people. And then the next thing I had to learn is something that many of us also have a hard time doing. All the husbands in the house are going to say amen, hallelujah. But we often have a hard time admitting when we're wrong. Ladies, give God some praise. Yes, sir. All right. All the men in the house, if your spouse is next to you, say, I'm sorry. I was wrong. I'm sure this is probably the case. Please forgive me. All right, maybe I've got it flipped. Ladies, turn to your husband. I'm sorry. I was wrong. Please forgive me. There you go. I did it for both of us, Christy. But, you know, think about that. If we speak and teach things, and we're trying to understand and interpret and follow the Holy Spirit of God, but we're a flawed human being, is there a chance that we could get it wrong? Totally. But are we humble enough to say when we did and then make it right? I messed up because I don't want to lead you astray because I'm responsible. And I have to make sure that my face is buried here, right? Like Jesus, I want to be at your feet. I want to preach the good news. I don't want to make it bad news. And so if when I preach the good news and it feels like bad news, something's wrong. Amen? Because even if it hurts, it's going to still be good news. We used to say to my dad, and now that I think about it, as it's coming out of my mouth, I probably shouldn't have said it, but we always talked about the fact that he could sell anything. We even said he could sell ice to an Eskimo. I don't know what the actual word is now. So like I said, as I said that, I don't know, but you get the idea. Like someone who doesn't need it, they can sell it to them, you know, that kind of thing. And then you have the flip side where, you know, you're working for somebody. You know, Dad was in the military. Many people in here have been in the military. And, you know, you have your commander that is lighting you up, but then you leave feeling like $1 million. Most people say, well, that's a good leader. Well, in you know, Christian world, Christian society, have you ever had someone correct you and make you not feel like $1 million? It's like, oh, I feel so bad. I feel like scum now. Thanks. Well, that's not the way it's supposed to go. When you are corrected, when, you know, the believers around you that love you correct you, you should say, hey, that's right. That's something I agree with. But often what we've done is we've taken titles. And we said, because I'm your boss, I'm going to correct you, not because I love you. I want to help you. Why? Because Travis and I, you know, we were going to be in situations where we're not always right. John and I, we're going to be in situations where we're not always right. And if we can't receive correction, then we're not going to be able to deliver correction as the Lord wants us to and see people walk away healed and growing and thriving. Now we're going to see people damaged that don't ever want to step foot in a church again. They don't want anything to do with this charismatic church. I'd rather go to, you know, a place where I can just sit,
walk through a process, be done, punch my badge, say I went to church today, and I'm done. I fulfilled my duty. And then they miss all of it. They miss all of this good stuff that we have by being in community and relationship with one another. Is this making sense this morning? In John 14, Pastor Glenn alluded to it a little bit. But in John 14, 12 through 21, we're not going to read all of it, but then he goes into John 15, which you guys, I hope, know well, about abiding in him, which helps us to love and obey him, which helps us to do what he says, right? John 14, 12 and 14 says, he says, truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I've been doing, and they will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask for in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask for me for anything in my name and I will do it. You know what? I'm going to go ahead and continue in there. He says, if you love me, keep my commands. And I will ask the Father and he will give you another advocate to help you and to be with you forever. The Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him because he lives in you and will be in you. So I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. And on that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Then he jumps down and he continues the advocate portion in 26. It says, but the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. There was not enough hooping and hollering there. You guys have some problems being reminded of stuff, remembering stuff. Well, now you have the mind of Christ. Don't say, I can't remember, I forget everything. Stop saying that. You have the mind of Christ. And it says here, the Holy Spirit will teach us all things and remind us of everything that he's said. Everything that he's said. Everything that he wants us to do. We will have a consistent guide. What's the key? Remaining, abiding. John 15, 4. Remain in me as I also remain in you, because no branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. So neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. And so as I was thinking about this, and I'm going to go ahead and ask the worship team to come up. The Word of God tells us that the Father is seeking people who worship him in spirit and in truth. You ever meet the people that love them some truth but not so much spirit? Or what about the ones who are really lost and they love all the spiritual weird stuff but none of the truth? None of the real. And on this, I used air quotes, truth, spirit. Some people are a host of all kinds of spirits, and it's not Holy Spirit. So they're spiritual. They know that there's something there, but they don't know who is there. You think somebody ought to tell them? You think someone ought to guide them? How would they know unless someone goes and tells them, right? Then we see in 2 Timothy 3:5 that there's going to be a type of people that have a form of godliness, but they deny its power. I sound right. I can quote all the scriptures in the world to you. I can give you every ordinance, every feast, everything under the sun, but I do not operate in the power of God. And when I think about that, I'm like, I want to stay as far away from that as possible. I'd rather be a dummy for God, but actually be doing what he wants me to do. The last portion of this, as we were talking about historically, how this kind of process went from Matthew 3, where John was saying there's going to be one coming after me, who's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. After Jesus was baptized, it says this Holy Spirit descended on him like a dove. He was then led into the wilderness to be tempted, where he remained without sin.
And then it says in Matthew 4:17, it says, from that time, Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom is at hand. And as I was thinking about this, a lot of ministers today don't like talking about sin and repentance anymore. Holiness. Walking upright before the Lord our God. And I was wrecked yesterday as we were, I was thinking about all this, but it actually had an opportunity. And one of the guys that were helping us set things up here and clean up stuff downstairs from the revival meetings kind of caught me off guard. He's like, can you guys pray for me? And I'm like, what's going on, man? But he was just talking about all the things that he had got himself kind of stuck into and how he just wanted to make things right. He wanted to get right before the Lord. And out of all of us sitting there, I'm like, I need prayer, you know, like pray for me, you know, like now I'm feeling rough. But I mean, it's exactly that. That's what I'm talking about. Being in the presence of other believers and being able to, you know, fellowship with one another and have community with one another and confess sins. It's like, John, I'm gonna tell you everything that's going on so the devil can't tell me. Don't tell nobody. Keep it inside. Hide it. But I'm going to be honest with you and open with you, and you're going to pray for me. And then we're going to do the same thing. And I'm going to pray for you. And now you have two people that are walking in the presence and power of Almighty God that the enemy doesn't have a foothold in. Are you with me on there? And so as I was getting prepared to pray and kind of caught off guard with this guy, I hear the Lord say, have him start repenting. And so he starts praying and starts repenting. And I was like, well, I was going to pray for him, but he's got it all taken care of. But he's repenting for everything under the sun. Once again, I'm feeling about that tall. And the Lord reminded me of this exact scripture, this exact perspective, that John came preaching, repent, right? And then it said, from that time, Jesus began to preach and say, what? Repent. And so I would say, as it pertains to scripture, as it pertains to living according to what Jesus wants us to do, I think repentance needs to be a pretty key part of our prayer and walk with God, prayer life and walk with God. When was the last time you said in his presence that not only you counted your blessings, but you said, Lord God, I have sinned. And you were specific. I have sinned in this way, and I don't ever want to do that again. It's not just saying I'm sorry, but it's actually saying, not only am I sorry, I am disgusted and appalled at that thing that I did that separated me from you, and I never want to feel that again. So repentance is important. Amen? When he was asked about this kingdom, said the Pharisees said, when would it come? When is it going to be here? He said, the kingdom of God has not come with observation, nor will they say, see here or see there. For indeed, the kingdom of God is within you. In the Beatitudes, he tells them, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. And so I was processing this. So you've got the kingdom at hand, meaning it's there, it's present. You've got the kingdom that could be yours as a statement, and you have the kingdom of God is within you as a statement. And so we've been talking a lot about God's kingdom coming, his will being done on earth as it is in heaven. And the best description or the best way I can further illustrate this as we're wrapping this up is we are in a nation where freedom is something that we speak of and we try to operate in. We're free. But the freedom that I think we get confused on as Americans, as opposed to the kingdom, is it's licensed to do whatever we want. I'm free. Am I right? I'm just going to do whatever I want. And then you have people fighting about all kinds of silly, stupid things because of freedom. We're free. Go visit a country that's not. Sometimes they have it together better than we do. And so I was asking the Lord, how do you want us to be? Because the Word of God tells us that we are His ambassadors, that we are strangers in a foreign land. And so if we are strangers in the foreign land, and I'm going to include America in this because this is not my home. My home is my heavenly home. And so the authority and the voice and the power, and I would even say the restraint that we must operate in, isn't going to look like those around us. It's going to look like the kingdom. And so do I want to say this because that person made me mad? Well, I probably do. But should I, right? And then I'm going to go back to you, what, maybe 20 years ago. What would Jesus do? What would Jesus say? How would Jesus operate in that moment? Start asking yourself that question if you have a hard time. Would Jesus do this? Would he say this? Paul even reminded them that he said, oh yeah, you're free, but don't let your freedom be your license to sin and just say, oh, God's going to cover it. It's taken care of. There's a lot of people that operate that way too. I've already punched my ticket. I'm going to heaven, so I'm just going to do what I want. That's not what he's called us to do. He's called us higher. He's called us to function in a different way. Here's what he said as I'm closing here, and I love this. In Matthew 10, 7 through 8, he says, as he's sending out the disciples, he says, as you go, preach. And you're going to be saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And here is what we will do because the kingdom is at hand. If anyone was confused on what our mandate is, it says in verse 8 that we would heal the sick. We would cleanse the lepers. We would raise the dead. And the one that a lot of people also run away from, they don't typically have a problem with the other ones, but this one, cast out demons. Freely you have received, so freely give. If it's something that you've been given and it's not yours to control the quantity or source, let's assume that's abundant, what's stopping you from giving? You have an endless supply and you didn't do anything to get it. And so why are we not passing on the love? Amen. Saving people from eternity in hell. So in Mark 16:15, it says similarly, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they'll drive out demons. There it is again. They will speak in new tongues. There that is again. They will pick up snakes with their hands, which we hadn't seen this one yet, but I've got scriptures for you. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people, and they'll do what? Get well. They'll get healed. And the Lord Jesus, after the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven, and he sat at the right hand of God. Then, someone say then, the disciples went out and preached everywhere. And the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it. So we read here where they went out and preached. They did exactly what Jesus told them to do. We see in Acts 2 where they were all together in one accord. They were filled with the Spirit. They begin to preach boldly. We see in Acts chapter 4, some of y'all got the U version of the day. Acts chapter 4 and verse 32, all the believers were in one heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was theirs, and they shared everything they had. And it says further on down, verse 31, after they had prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they did what? They spoke the word of God boldly. They weren't just saying it to themselves. They were doing what he said. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Can you see that we have failed at that? We're not going into all the world. We're not preaching the gospel. We got our fire insurance and then we're being quiet about it. And so something I would like to do today, two things. If you would like to be prayed for, to receive more of the Holy Spirit, I'd like you to come up. If you would like to be prayed for,
to receive your call, your mandate. Hey, am I supposed to go out and evangelize? Am I to go on missions field? Tamika just went on the missions field. If that's you, let us pray for you. Let you be sent. Because if we agree with you, we can hold each other accountable. If you say it in your heart, it's like, yeah, you can say it, but will you do it? Have somebody help you keep yourself accountable. So I'm going to ask Travis to come up. I'm going to ask Robin to come up. I'm going to ask Christy to come up. So if you'd like to pray with a guy, there's a couple of us up here. If you'd like to pray with a woman, there's a couple of us up here. But would you come and ask the Lord, hey, I want more Holy Spirit. I want more of your power. I want more of your presence. They've been talking about the gift of tongues. I want to speak in tongues. I want to do all the things the Word of God says I should be doing as a believer because I'm not doing them now, and I want to. I want to not only be filled with power, but I want to be obedient to do what he said. So can we take a few minutes here and just give our hearts to Jesus? If you don't want specific prayer for these things, please rise with us and join us in prayer. Pray for those that are going forward, and then we will continue. Would you lift your hands forward here? Would you pray in your heavenly language if you can?
We want to bless this woman that wants to receive Holy Spirit, and we believe He will answer this morning, and He will answer by fire. Shabatakiro ko shedeke iteke raka shabataki ko shodoko raka shabatakireke ne shobotoko raka shabataki ishobotoko raka shedeke. For those that are online, if you are asking for the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, please type a message. And one of the things I want to tell you that helped me greatly, for anyone that's wondering, the Holy Spirit is not going to move into your mouth and start making your tongue move. He's going to tell you what to say, and He's going to ask you to use those lungs, use those vocal cords, and speak it out. And so you're going to hear these words, you're going to hear these things, and you're going to speak them. And as you speak them, more will flow in Jesus' name. Tried and true, it happened with all of us. And so we encourage you, as you begin to seek out Holy Spirit, and as you begin to ask to be filled with the evidence of speaking in tongues, to just be obedient with the words that He gives you. I love that Timothy was encouraged. He was instructed to stir up the gift within him. I get a picture of a big old pot of stew, man. Stir up that gift. Stir it up. Practice it out. Use it. Let us stir it up, Lord. You want to stir it up, Lord.
So as Pastor Chris was saying, I was taught in a class just recently. They were teaching on the speaking in tongues and receiving that gift, and they were comparing it to when a baby starts speaking, and when they get a new language and they start to test that language out. Sometimes they just say one word like da 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 da, or ma 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 ma, and that's exactly what it's like when you get this gift. Sometimes one syllable comes out, and the enemy immediately says, that sounds dumb. I mean, really, like all you're saying is ba, 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 ba. But to Holy Spirit, He says, yes, yes, my daughter, yes, my son, speak it out, because He can do more with that ba than we could do with a million of our words, a million of our words. So speak that one syllable out. And we say fear to the feet of Jesus right now in Jesus' name.
Yes, and I just want to encourage you. The Bible says that God is such a good father, and what good father would hold from his children? And the God who's even a better father than us, how would he hold from his children the gift of the Holy Spirit? And so I just encourage you just to totally agree with what Candace said. The word or sound is totally immaterial. That means nothing. But what it does is that you find him at the end of your intellect. You find him at the end of your yourself. And so the babble, the baby talk, all of those things, as silly as they sound, that is us stepping out of our comfort zone, stepping out of us and knowing that we literally find him. Our life is hidden within him, and we find him when we step out of that. So I just encourage you. And this isn't something that you just experience in a church service and then you're great, but you have to go home and stir it. And it's so beautiful because whenever we pray, I'm going to be honest with you, a lot of our prayers are a waste of time. And the reason I say that is because we are not praying with a renewed mind. We're praying in unbelief, we're praying in lack, we're praying in fear, we're praying in all of those things. But what the Holy Spirit does is just a few minutes, few seconds with him gives us his vision and his perspective. So now we're no longer praying with doubt and unbelief, but we're literally praying the voice of the Holy Spirit. And all we're doing is partnering and just saying, Lord, I am available. Lord, I am available to agree with what you are speaking over this situation. Because we can only pray for blessings and provision and security and safety and all those things long enough before we fall asleep. But the Lord can do it in so many dynamic ways. So I just encourage you, stir yourself in that this morning.
Amen. All right, church, are we encouraged? Amen. All right, so let's say our declaration together. If they could put it on the screen, you would stand with me. You can do the hand motions with me. But my eyes are on Jesus. My heart is tuned to his spirit. My ears will listen to his voice. My mind will believe what he says. And my voice will declare the truth of his word. I've got offering envelopes kind of scattered throughout. So please do what the Lord has led you to do there. I want to let you know a couple quick announcements. I don't know if our screen is not working or what's going on. But a couple quick announcements. Next Saturday, we're going to have a volunteer meeting for our tent revival on the first week of July. And so June 3rd at 2 p.m. here at the church, we're going to have a volunteer meeting. We've got some guys coming from out of town that are going to give us instructions about what they need and all of the rundown. And so if that is exciting to you in any way, shape, or form, and you want to be a part of the tent meeting that is the first week of July, come to the volunteer meeting, all right? We're going to message this out in text as well, just so everybody has it. So show the next slide. I can see the next one up, the tent meeting, the dates. It's the very next one. There you go. So July 3rd through the 7th, 7 p.m. each night. And guys, this tent is massive. So I'm trying to think about my directions here. I think it's over here. The grass out here where the old house used to be is going to be covered with a tent and chairs and all kinds of stuff. And we're going to have evangelism during the day. Invite them there that evening. We got a couple other things coming. So come to the volunteer meeting and we'll let you know. But Prophet Craig and Eddie, and as well as a few of the ministers that were in partnership with Awaken, we're all going to be here, and we're all going to see this area transformed. And so if you can make it any of the nights from the 3rd to the 7th, we're going to be out here on the lawn witnessing to people, seeing lives transformed. If you missed the last 2 days of revival with our Spanish brothers and sisters, you missed so much. We had about 300 people both nights. We had people that walked in blind that walked out seeing. We had people that couldn't walk in that walked out walking, right? You know, all kinds of stuff happened. It is online. It is translated, so you can hear and listen and see after they were prayed for. So it starts off with the worship, then the ministry. Immediately following, you get testimonies. That is going to lift your spirits, lift your expectation for what God is about to do in this area. So I encourage you to check it out. It's on our page. It's on their page. But those are a couple quick announcements that we are just excited about what God is about to do. So would you pray for us? Would you keep these things in your hearts and minds? Lift up all the speakers, everyone who's going to be involved in it in any way, because we're going to have a lot of ministry and things going on. We're going to have worship going on each of the nights. So just please pray and cover the people and let us know if you'd like to help with anything, okay? I love you guys. We send you in the name of Jesus. Be blessed.